to Between Two Wings. I am your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Matt Johnson with us. He is an air medical helicopter pilot, a DPE, and also a Czech airman at his company. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Emily.
Of course. So we start off each episode by just explaining where we're at. I thought it'd be appropriate to show off my one and only helicopter experience, which is behind me. It was actually at Osh a few years ago. And me and the other fixed wing pilot, one of my coworkers, got to go up and we were like little kids on Christmas. It was amazing. But tell us a little bit about where you're at.
That was a really nice shot. We got lucky with that. I was flying back one night and one of our flight physicians was riding up front with me. We had done a specialty flight, so we had dropped the other crew members off. So it was just the doc and I. And so full credit to his awesome picture here, Dr. Adam Gatula. But yeah, he snapped that picture and that's kind of become certainly one of my favorites. It's a nice view of the Queen City there. You can see Cincinnati off from the view.
Definitely. And night flying always gives some epic views. So let's talk a little bit about being an air medical pilot. You get that flight request. What's next?
I would say that we, the majority of our time on making decisions for flights, it's generally, you know, high 90 percentile weather related. Sometimes it's crew related, or it could be other logistical issues. It could be duty time or something like that. But generally speaking, it's weather. So that being said, we are, if we're like a green status, then we have a pretty good idea what the weather's going to do for the day. And we can just go and respond once we're called. But if we're yellow, like a day like today, as you probably hear the rain pouring down here, beautiful Ohio. So we're really fortunate. We have a phenomenal operational control center with our company that's based in Shreveport, Louisiana. So everything that I'm looking at, there's another human being, a trained, many of them, you know, aviators or aviation background, meteorology backgrounds. They're taking a look at exactly what I'm looking at. And they're making sure that I've evaluated all the potential hazards and risk, and they either approve or disapprove, or a lot of times they'll call and consult with us and say, just want to make sure you see this, or what are your thoughts on that? So it's really nice because flying single pilot, air medical, and especially single pilot IFR, it's nice to have that other person on the other end to back you up and be a resource.
Definitely. And teamwork is so big in aviation. Everyone I talk to, that is a reoccurring theme. Yeah. It is a must to make, you know, the whole machine work. So as a fixed wing pilot, especially in my current instrument training, my goal is to always land on a runway. But that is not always the case for you. You know, how do you approach the situation? And what is the plan that goes into it?
Well, once again, it depends. And I'm painting a picture there that I hope you pick up on. A lot of what we do is, no pun intended, it's up in the air. So much of it, we don't know. We don't know necessarily where we're going to be landing. If it's a scene call, is it going to be a cornfield? Is it going to be, you know, a church parking lot? Is it going to be a you know, an outdoor park, parking lot. Those are the last three places I've landed in the last 3 days that come to mind. Unless it's IFR, it's an IFR flight, you know, we know going into it that, oh, we're not going to a runway, or for this scene call, we're not generally going to a hospital. Some emergency responders will kind of scoop and go, if you will, if they're close to a local hospital, and package a patient and go to that local hospital, and then we'll rendezvous there. So in that case, yeah, we know where we're going. We're landing at a dedicated concrete helipad. But for our scene calls, the majority of the time, we don't generally know until we're up in the air exactly what type of LZ environment we're going to be landing in or on.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, in this entire kind of, the only thing consistent is inconsistency, as you have said before. Yeah. How do you, you know, own your environment and especially the risk management whenever it's just you as PIC in the air?
Yeah, it's I like that you said that. I have this saying, and I certainly don't take credit for it. I'm sure someone has said it long before me, but you, in air medical or in aviation in general, what specifically for what we're discussing, flying, you know, single pilot IFR, or even for the programs that fly two pilots, air medical, you have to be a master of your environment. You have to know your machine. You have to know your limitations. You have to know limitations of your crew members that you're working with. And you have to know weather. You have to know the big picture. You have to know the microclimate weather issues. I'm one of those. I'm not afraid to get on with ATC. We're lucky in our area. We've got wonderful controllers. We're in a Class Bravo. We've got Class Deltas around us, Class Charlies to the north. There's no harm, no foul in keying up and talking to someone and saying, hey, I'm here. Is anyone, you know, given any pirates recently, any of the airliners on final for this runway? Are they experiencing anything? I'm starting to see something build out there. So getting people to think outside the helicopter, if you will, is key. And that's all part of mastering that environment and using all of those resources available to you.
Definitely couldn't agree more there. And so single pilot IFR seems a little bit more rare with helicopters. Can you kind of just go into that a little bit and explain?
There are so many safety nets built into what we're doing when we do IFR. We know that we're going to be at altitudes where things aren't going to jump up and bite us as long as we've done everything correctly. It takes so much in terms of planning, pre-planning and being loaded, if you will, and ready to go and having so much of the work done because we never know when we're going to get called or where we might be called to go to a certain hospital under IFR conditions. You know, you look at airliners in the 121 world, their dispatchers have filed their flight plans maybe hours, days, weeks ahead. Or even for yourself, you may file something to jump in your Piper and fly across country, and you know when that's going to happen. So during my 12 hours, I never know when the radio is going to go off or the phone's going to ring. So you have to be loaded, if you will, spring loaded to start making those decisions, you know, using all of your resources. You know, our bread and butter IFR is we have close to probably like 400 approaches company-wide, nationwide, and metros all over the country with, you know, dozens of customers and dozens of cities. We have what's called PINS approaches, point in space, GPS, WASP-based approaches in and out of hospitals. So we have an approach and we have departures out of those hospitals. And when I say PINS or point in space, that's exactly what it is. So you're shooting your precision approach down to a DA, or if you're doing a, you know, a run-of-the-mill, very basic LNAV, you're going down to an MDA and you're waiting till you get to the missed approach point, and I see the runway environment. Not for us, generally speaking. We're literally going to a point in space that may be slightly offset from the hospital. So you can imagine the amount of workload involved in that single pilot in a helicopter. And the amount of work that goes into the planning and coordination of all of that. So it's very rewarding when you see it all come together. We are likely, and you could confirm this, we're likely probably the biggest air medical customer with 4Flight that utilizes the BYOP bring your own plate option. We have, I'm going to say, close to 400 approaches and departures in our custom proprietary database that our men and women can pull up when they're flying single pilot IFR. All of those, the majority of those, almost all of those are geo-referenced. So having that level of situational awareness while you're flying in that environment, you can get so task saturated if you're not managing your environment correctly. It can get overwhelming. So having that level of situational awareness is phenomenal. And we looked at doing this years ago, and that was before the bring your own plate option existed. And we were using 4Flight, of course, and we looked at different options and file formats, and we found a way to do it, but it was going to kind of clog up the layers, if you will. So when the bring your own plate option came out, the director of operations at Metro called me and said, have you seen this? I'm like, oh yeah, isn't this a dream? And I could just, you know, see him, you know, he was on the other end of the phone, but I could just see him going, you know, we got to make this happen. And that's literally what he said, because this is, you know, this is phenomenal. This is a level of situational awareness and cockpit organization that's second to none. And, you know, this is a guy that's had done this for years, not just,
yeah,
you know, been a DO for years. He had worked his way up through the ranks as line pilot, check airman, et cetera. So he had been there in the old days, Emily, when we had to use paper, you know? So
those days existed.
Remember those days? Yeah. Yeah. I always tell people, I try not to think about life before spell check, Google, and ForeFly, because I would be lost without those three things.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And I think that was the best testimony for bring your own plates we could have ever wanted or imagined. I'm so glad that we can tag along and, you know, make the flying safer and also just more efficient for all the different workflows.
You know, we can be out the door and starting the first engine or even taxiing down to depart a runway or depart an obstacle departure procedure at one of our bases or hospitals if the aircraft's based there, in 15 minutes or less. And that's with an ATC clearance. So, and that was just prior to the ForeFlight days and having the system process and workload process. It just didn't go that smooth or that quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally understand there. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on this episode of Between Two Wings. I've learned a lot and it's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you everyone for tuning into this episode. See you next time on Between Two Wings.